The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com. Speak up, man.
I'm trying.
But we're good. We're recording. We're here. It's a beautiful Friday morning. How are you?
Good.
I was going to wear that shirt yesterday when we were supposed to record yesterday. I was going to wear that shirt.
Twins. That's funny. Before we start, a little breakup of the voice there.
Yeah.
I have some things for sale.
Oh,
yeah.
This is the Drop of Frank and Brian Classifieds.
Hold on. Ready?
Huh?
So I have two Rode mics for sale and my old gimbal, which is not old. They still sell it new.
I saw you're selling that.
Yeah. So I have it on Marketplace. But if anyone's watching and anyone wants a gimbal, it's cheap. So
yeah. What's cheap?
I'll let it go for $200.
What was it cost new?
Right now, $300.
Oh, okay. So $100. And that's the one with the suitcase feature, right?
Well, they all have that.
Mine doesn't.
Well, yeah.
Anyone old. After
yours does.
Mine's
old. Yours doesn't have an option to attach a handle?
I think probably now it does. I could probably find something that someone makes it or... But I've gotten so stuck in my rut of how I do it. I'm like, I'm fine.
Yeah. So this one, just like, it's got a little thing you unclick and then bend it. You know what I mean? And then it does it. But the new one, you actually just, if you're holding it straight up, you actually just tilt it forward and the camera knows it's going into briefcase mode. And just,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So
that's cool. Does your new one have, because like obviously this is now a feature that's a must have on a gimbal, to quickly go from horizontal to vertical?
No, you have to, that's... not a thing on like there's no button to just magically do it,
but I saw one that you can take the head off quickly, like you don't need to rebalance it or anything.
Yeah, that's the one that I have.
Okay, it's cool. So you can just like slide it off, flip it around, slide it back on, and it's already, you don't need to recalibrate.
Yeah, but I'll never do that.
Why not?
Because I will just use my pocket.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah. have you seen the pocket thing too, where it's just like, why are people like that? You just take the pocket and just go. And it's in briefcase mode, or it's in vertical mode. So if you have it up like this, and you know, people will click the screen to make it go like this. Mm-hmm. But if you literally just take the pocket and do this, it's recording vertical.
But do you leave your screen horizontal?
Yeah, you leave it horizontal because you're tilting it, and now it's vertical, and it records 4K instead of 3K. So it's just like, you never have to do anything. You just walk up to a car, and you're like, oh, I want to record vertical. Boonk. And you just do this, and now it's vertical.
The only reason I switch back to the flipping the screen is it just helps me frame stuff and kind of understand what's happening a little bit better.
Same here. Same here, but I go, oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that. You just go, and now it's in vertical mode.
Yeah, because the screen actually shrinks down to vertical, too. Or does it?
No, it's just you're literally taking the screen and tilting it sideways by taking the pocket and tilting it sideways.
Saying, you're saying go like this.
Physically take the mechanism and just go. Mechanism. And just do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw a bunch of... videos when people were just like on, I got my algorithm fed me a bunch of stuff the other day, and it was just like
all pocket stuff.
Pocket stuff, yeah.
Pockets are gonna take over the world, dude.
Nah, I mean, it's just like anything else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's probably like the best thing to come out for this whole space. You know, like because it takes the GoPro, the phone, and the high quality camera and it just combines them into this one thing instead of having these multiple things. And it's like,
so yeah, because for years and years, GoPro chased two things. They chased better quality, which I don't think they ever like really achieved because there's always their sensors are always so small.
Well, their quality is fine if there's light.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's sort of like what I was preluding to. And then also, like, they were always like trying to perfect the in-body stabilization, you know?
Well, they did. Yeah. Like, it's not perfect, but like, it's really, really good.
It's not as good as a gimbal.
The thing, well, of course not. But I mean, but the gimbal's not as good as the GoPro when it comes to like action stuff.
Right.
So you're not going to put a gimbal on your motorcycle helmet or on your race car. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or, you know, they're each of them have a place. But what the DJI thing does is just allows the best of all those things to in one, because if you're not doing action sports stuff or putting the camera, you know what I mean, in small places, because there are places like that you put a GoPro inside a race car that you're not going to put the gimbal inside a race car.
No, it makes sense. Yeah, someone asked me just recently about, like, you know, we're such big pocket proponents that, you know, people ask us questions about it and stuff, and they're like, well, what does it compare to a GoPro? And I said, basically, in my opinion, it beats a GoPro in everything except for being, like, strong, like the robustness of it. Like,
exactly, yeah.
These, I feel like I've never had an incident. Lindsay put hers through the paces at Mini Nats, dumping water on it and stuff, and it survived. Yes. But I don't know if, like, I've never dropped it, so we'll see what happens then.
Yeah, I think that's another thing, too, underwater. I think just Yeah, someone hit me up the other day, too, and they were like, I'm just going to get a GoPro. And I'm like, well, what are you using it for? They're like, just car show stuff. I'll just get the pocket.
Yeah, just get the pocket.
Like, if you're not going to take it underwater, if you're not going
to
take it...
Like you said, strap it to something that could potentially fall off.
Hiking, you know what I mean? Like, stuff like that. Like, if you're rock climbing, you want a GoPro for, like, the robustness, like you said, the ruggedness and getting beat up and, you know. But
yeah.
Yeah. But other than that,
it's like we've always said, everything serves a purpose and everything. It's more tools in the toolbox, that old saying, you know.
Yeah. But I think this thing is like probably the best thing for most people to come out.
I think it's the best overall thing. Like if you wanted to go out, besides having your phone, if you wanted to go one step beyond your phone and have something dedicated to creating content with, I would say 100% go get a pocket.
Yeah, the one lacking feature is just it can't do the cinematic stuff like zooming in and stuff.
Yeah, that is where it lacks.
But neither can a GoPro, and your phone can. So you can actually use your phone as that tool, you know, like in conjunction with the pocket. So if you have your phone and you're like, oh, I really want to zoom in on this one shot, you could just take your phone out and get that one shot on your phone and then combine it and post later.
Yeah. That's kind of like what we've been doing. Chupas, he was on a shoot a while ago, and he was doing some rollers, and he was just having, like, you know, his big rig that he uses to film with. Like, he was just having a hard time with it, like, hanging out of a car, like, with the wind and stuff. And he's like, I wish I just had a bucket.
Yeah, he doesn't have a truck.
So. Well, that's true. He was trying to do it out of a sunroof of a lowered vehicle, so,
I mean. Yeah, well, the lowered vehicle part doesn't really mean it's actually better, but...
I mean, like suspension wise, like he's in this like.
That's fine because you're on a gimbal, so it's gonna soak up the bumps. But the hard part about being in a lowered vehicle or like a 1 ton or half ton truck or 1 ton truck or 3/4 ton truck, if you're trying to film out of the bed, is just your knees.
Yeah,
that's literally it. Like everything else is fine because the gimbal will soak up any jarring effect. But what his battle is once you get like because I film out of the bed to the trucks all the time. Once you get to the side of the truck to try to film the forward shots and you're doing 60, 70 miles an hour, the wind will affect the camera. You know what I mean?
So like, I'm sure it'll affect the pockets also. Cause like those are not, there was a couple times,
but they're also sealed. So like a camera is kind of sealed, but you're going to get wind. You can get wind through the, like that enters the camera and kind of messes the things up. So
interesting.
Yeah. That's why we say like, I told him, you need a truck so you can hang off the back of the truck. Cause the back of the truck blocks all the wind. So you can go as fast as you want. And there's really no wind effect back there because the tailgate blocks all the wind. But
yeah, I almost talking about 3/4 or 1 ton trucks. I was hanging out of the back of Georgie's truck 1 year. One, yeah, it's real hard on the knees and just bouncing around. But one, he almost bounced me out the back of the truck.
Yeah, yeah, it's not fun.
It got a little rowdy. Yeah. The best vehicle for filming out of is the Maverick.
Oh, it's so good.
That's the best vehicle just to film out of. It's
literally a car.
Yeah, it is, basically. Yeah.
And the best vehicles to get is a van, a minivan. Because you've got in the back of the minivan, when you pop the hatch open, there's like a trunk. Mm-hmm. So you're sitting down inside of
it. It's like, we're like, not near where the spare tire goes, but that area.
That area, yeah. Or then you have both side doors. It's almost like, it'd be so sick just to have a van as just the camera, like a dedicated camera car, and just leave it parked. And then when you need to go on shoots, you use the van.
Right. That'd be cool. Yeah, man. This has been kind of a interesting time because I can't even remember the last time we recorded what happened. You drove an electric car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because I think you did that like right after last week's episode.
Yeah, I left the episode and drove. I had an appointment at Rivian. So,
That was a Rivian you drove?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just saw the quick video of you driving it, and then I was like, oh, that's cool. But I didn't know what kind of vehicle it was. Oh, it was a Rivian.
Yeah.
Dang.
What did you think it was?
I don't know. You get yourself into all sorts of things. I have no idea.
Very many electric vehicles that. You kind of threw me into this. I wasn't expecting to talk about this till later on the thing because I have notes right here.
Oh, I have notes too.
Yeah,
mine has to deal with my recall on my truck, but we'll get into that later too.
Okay. Let me go through this real quick.
Yeah, wherever you want to start. We don't have to start there.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to, like I said, it's been a weird week.
It just flows with the camera stuff. It flows right into this stuff.
Okay, go ahead.
Have you been seeing any of the Adobe stuff that's happening?
I've seen little things. I haven't really dived into it. Something's going on. People are pissed off at them. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so there's like this thing when you sign up to Adobe, your terms of service, da-da-da-da, and with the whole AI stuff and... There's this weird thing happening where if you are working in Photoshop or Premiere, I don't know how true this is, and I also don't know all the details of it, but they have the rights to some of that stuff.
Oh, the AI intellectual property.
Yeah, so like if you're working on a photo of a chair, they can take that chair and put it in their AI system and then replace someone else. I don't know exactly don't take my word for it because I don't know. Mm-hmm. But besides that part, do you have the full cloud, like the $60 a month plan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So obviously when you work with Adobe products, you can't buy them for one price. You have to subscribe to the cloud. Mm-hmm. It's very expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, it's $600+ a year. I use two programs in there. I use Photoshop and Premiere. Sometimes I use Audition, but very rarely.
Mm-hmm. Never mess around with After Effects or anything like that.
Yeah, and Premiere is so powerful now that it can do a lot of the stuff After Effects does, and I don't mess around with any of that stuff. It's so I was like started thinking. I'm like, huh. So I bought Affinity. Affinity is Photoshop essentially, but it's another company.
Okay.
And I started looking into this. I was like, what are the comparable, what are other people using when they don't use Photoshop? And so Affinity was this program. So I went on their website and it's $35.
Flat.
One flat.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm going to buy it. So I bought it, opened it up. It's the exact same as Photoshop.
Really?
All the tools are the same. All the functions are the same. The camera raw stuff is the same. It's identical. So I'm going to use that. I've been using it now for editing some photos and editing some other things. So I'm going to use that. And then if I end up not going back into Photoshop, I'm going to just get rid of Photoshop and just go down to the $20 Adobe Premiere plan. And then my next step is DaVinci.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard
of
that.
And then just getting out of the... Because DaVinci's $300. And this Affinity is $35 with, and you get when they update stuff, they just send it to you for free.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that there's a difference is because Adobe uses all the AI stuff, so they're constantly updating things. But I don't care about the AI stuff,
right?
I don't use that in my.
It's more like a quirky thing to mess around with. No,
it's definitely like a real thing when it comes to certain parts of editing. images or creating images and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like there's like it's a real thing, but I don't use it. I don't try to like, you know, I mess around with my photos when I do develop them in Photoshop and stuff, but I'm only just developing them what they are. I'll take out polls and I'll do all that stuff, but that program does that too. Mm-hmm. I'm not like doing the things that the AI stuff needs. So I'm like, if I could save $600 a year.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was just going to bring that up.
I wonder how that will relate to what I do, because you know, Photoshop is such a powerful program. Like you can use it for a bunch of different applications. It's not just a photo thing. Like we use it for creating t-shirts. That's the only program mm-hmm. we use, which is interesting because in the beginning of like figuring all this out, you basically take two paths. You either go down the Illustrator path or you go down the Photoshop path.
So they have an Illustrator too.
Right. But what I'm saying is, this is like, I'm just kind of using that as a starting point. Yeah. So like, the proper way to do it is to like to go down the Illustrator route, because Illustrator is much more powerful for graphic mm-hmm. design than Photoshop, but it is much more difficult to learn, and it's kind of like a little more difficult to use and stuff. So we went the Photoshop route and then just have built our whole thing off of Photoshop. So I just wonder how like that would relate to like graphic design and stuff.
Well, it's essentially like, what do you mean relate to it?
Or like, am I, like if I wanted to create a t-shirt design with it or prep, not really create t-shirt designs with it, it's more prepping artwork for printing. Like, you know, like, is it going to use AI files? Is it going to use EPS files?
Oh, yeah,
like,
it does. You can drop a Photoshop file mm-hmm. into Affinity and it opens it up with all the layers and everything. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. So, like, and then they have their own Illustrator and they have their own. So the other one is InDesign. InDesign is used to make magazine layouts.
Oh, okay.
So they have their own InDesign too. So you can buy the whole suite. It's like $120. You get the Illustrator, you get the Photoshop, you get the InDesign.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I can take like, I'll get Illustrator files, vector files or whatever, and I need to change them into, you know, I'll get a, like one from you or whatever you'll send me, or one from Chris or one from Brandon. Mm-hmm. And I need to take them change them from an Illustrator file to a JPEG to put on the website or whatever it is. And, but yeah, so I was grabbing different files and dropping them in there, and it was acting like it was exactly like Photoshop.
That's cool. Do you think it will ever come to a point where Adobe will like make their file like extensions proprietary and they just will not open in other programs? No.
I don't think they can, because I mean, they can, but it would be a mess, you know, for the whole industry.
Hmm.
Because people, especially in this world, don't take kindly to that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So instead of just like conforming to it, they will completely do the opposite and rebel against it, which is exactly what is happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like, there are so many creators that I follow on YouTube that just don't, they have, it's been a year to 2 years now that they have just dropped Adobe completely.
Yeah.
Because they're just sick of the, like, there's no reason to keep charging everyone $600 a year. And then some businesses are paying way more than that. Cause if you want more than two users, like if your business is whatever, it's way more than that. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's just this thing coming to a head where these other programs have been around for a while, but they're actually now going to take advantage of what's happening, you know? So, mm-hmm. and they're only going to get better. Makes
sense. I mean, you know, Adobe is greedy, and they're going to get to a point where they bit off too much. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how it all comes together, but yeah, I'll definitely look into it. What is it called?
It's called Affinity.
Affinity. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. $35 one time. And then that's all you pay. So I was like, I'm just going to take advantage of it, cause I think it's like half off right now. I don't know how, whatever, but,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was just going to play in it. And then even if I don't go the DaVinci route, even if I stay with Premiere, mm-hmm. I'm still going to save $40 a month.
Right.
Not using the Photoshop. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'll give myself a couple months and play with it and then make a decision then. But just for anybody that's like wanting to edit photos or wanting to do anything like that, there are options out there
mm-hmm.
that I never even thought of. There's free options too that can do a lot of the stuff that Photoshop does, but...
Yeah, well, it just makes sense in this world of content creation, and like, it's not a thing anymore where it's just like you're a photographer or you make videos, and it's everybody's a content creator now. You know, like even someone you know, just a random person needs some sort of software to create something to put it on the internet, you know?
Yeah.
So it makes total sense that there's going to be more competition and everything like that. It'll just be interesting to see how Adobe does react to that because, well, it's like,
I think they're going to start to offer, a non AI version where you can just purchase it.
Okay.
You know, cause, instead of like a cloud based thing, or they might, like offer like because Photoshop used to be $10 a month when they first started doing the cloud. It was $10 a month. It is now $20 a month, and then if you want anything else, it's an additional whatever. And so you might as well just spend the $60 a month.
And that's how they get you for to get that, and that $60.
And this here's another thing. So I went. Adobe knows what's happening. So when you sign up for Adobe, you have to sign up for you can pay monthly, which is very expensive, or you can sign up for the annual plan. Paid monthly, which is cheaper. That's a $60. If you pay monthly, it's like $80 or $90.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So when you're that $60 you're paying is because you signed up for the annual plan.
Like a contract, basically.
If you try to cancel that annual plan, like if you're like, oh, I'm just going to cancel it, I'm paying monthly, then they charge you the remaining balance if you were paying monthly for the annual thing. And they're actually being investigated right now by the DOJ because it doesn't say that blatantly in their. Like when you sign up, it's like hidden behind some shit.
Right.
So, but I went on there the other day to like see my plan and it was like, look at, see your offers. And my offer was $32.99 a month for a year.
Oh,
for what I have now.
Because they know.
Because that people are canceling, they're canceling. So they're like, shit, we need to keep people here. So let's do a promo. So their promo right now, if you go into your thing, you can get it for $32.99 a month for a year.
Oh, nice.
But you cannot cancel it.
Right, right.
So it's like, I'm like, well, I'm not going to do that because I can cancel mine any time. So next month, if I decide to cancel it, you know, I'm just going to do that.
Since we're on the subject, one thing that's changed for me in my world of, you know, screen printing and art preparation and stuff like that, and I actually didn't know it because, you know, I'm a bit lazy and I don't update everything. So I was like running Photoshop from like 22 for a long time. I just never updated it. Everything's working fine. Really didn't find a need. So. A friend of mine who's also a screen printer was like, hey, there's something up with my Adobe. It won't show me the Pantone colors. Because Pantone, like, I knew this before, but Pantone is like a company. Like, it's not Pantone.
It's like a third-party plug-in type thing?
It's really kind of difficult to explain because it goes all the way. Like, I watched a video on it. It goes all the way back to, like, you know, the 60s or something like that. So when you think of a Pantone color, you just think of it as a bunch of colors that mix together make one color, and that's the Pantone color. But Pantone is actually a registered trademark in a company called Pantone. So whenever you were using it through like Photoshop or anything like that, you were actually, like you said, it's a third party company. You're using their like trademarked colors in Photoshop. So Photoshop had got rid of them, and now they use, I don't know what it's called off the top of my head, starts with a K. But yeah, so if you went in, there's like the my friend went in there. She's like, okay, I got to mix some colors. Go get the Pantone. Well, what she didn't realize was she was the numbers that she was grabbing weren't Pantone colors. They were this other system. So when you go, so like say I wanted to mix a custom color, go into Photoshop. So look at the mocked up art, color pick it, go to color libraries, and it'll give you Pantone color. Then you have your little Pantone book. You open it up. You go to that color. So it's kind of complicated because it's all a bunch of different things coming together to make one thing. So you first of all, you have Photoshop, and they're showing you the image, and they give you the Pantone color. Pantone, the company, is saying, okay, this is the swatch for that number. Okay, so then now how do you mix it? Well, I bought a mixing system from a company, a screen printing company that makes screen printing ink. So now I have all of these colors that have different part numbers on them. I use part number because that's just that's what they call it. It's the number for that particular color. So then you go to their website, which is another thing. You go to their website, you look up the Pantone color. It gives you the mixing grams to make that color, right? And then that's how you end up with a custom color. So what was happening was since that one in this whole like ecosystem, there's one little piece that changed. Well, this person was like trying to like mix this color. And it was coming out wrong because it was not in this. Wasn't fitting within this system. You know what I mean? So, so like for me, like that's one interesting thing that I need to figure out to make, you know, my process work. But yeah. the point that I'm trying to make is like I asked you earlier. It's like, well, you know, you're going into this new system. all Adobe has to do really is say like, okay, well, our file extensions aren't going to work anymore. Yeah. Or we're going to change our file extensions. How about that? Yeah. You know? So it's, and that kind of like,
also, yeah, but you have the power to change the file extensions yourself too, to talk to other.
I understand. My point is like Adobe got rid of Pantone, which messed up this whole system, you know, and it was very easy for them to do. So I don't know. It's just stuff to think about. I'm not saying it's going to happen or anything like that. Just stuff to think about.
Well, even if that does happen, the Adobe doesn't control the what comes out of the camera. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're not working the Adobe ecosystem, then you're not abiding by the Adobe rules. So, like, mm-hmm. I take a photo. It comes out of the camera. It goes into whatever program I want it to. And this is why these companies like photo, like Adobe, can't do certain things, because they don't control the files that come. They can they control what you export out of Photoshop.
Right.
They don't control what comes into Photoshop.
Exactly.
So they're not going to, like, you know, a JPEG or a RAW or a Canon RAW or a Sony RAW or a like, if they want, if someone works in Corel, you know what I mean, or if someone works in whatever, like,
totally Adobe, forgot about Corel.
Yeah, I know, right? But I mean, so many people use so many different things that Adobe has to abide by this, or else they're going to just, like, shut out a percentage of their subscribers.
Right.
So it's like it balance that they're probably playing, you know. Mm-hmm. But
oh yeah, they're taking their calculated risks too. Like, what can we get away? Because, like, that's what it all comes down. All the whole thing comes down to is getting that subscription, getting the money, getting,
you know, right now they're just profits. Right now they're just leaning on the AI stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're going all in. They want to be the one that does the AI, and that's fine. You know, people, that's obviously has its place, but mm-hmm. if it doesn't have its place for the person using it, then they're not going to pay the extra cost for it.
Right.
So
yeah, it'd be interesting to see where it goes.
Yeah.
So
now next I'm finishing up MiniNets, and then I've got one more project, and then I'm going to mess with, I think I'm going to buy DaVinci, and then I'm going to mess with some projects that aren't due,
mm-hmm.
and like personal stuff in that, just see how it goes. So
mm-hmm. yeah, that'd be cool. I'm still working on LST. I'm almost done though.
Hell yeah.
I'm almost done. Relax. A couple people who, like, I film stuff at MiniNats, and they keep asking me, like, where's the MiniNats video? And I'm like, it's coming.
It'll happen.
It'll happen. It'll get there. Yeah. I'm really liking my LST video. I said that before in an episode, and yeah, I just like how it's coming together. It's gonna be fun.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. It's nice when you don't have to rush, or not rushing, because then you can kind of just dial it in.
Yeah.
You know, you're not like, you give yourself deadlines, you know, but like my deadline for this MiniNats video, I have a project that I had to work on after that for someone. Mm-hmm. But I told them I'm going to finish this video first, because it like gets, I haven't uploaded a video on the channel in a while, so I need to get that on there to like mentally get over this right. the hump.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Because if I start on the next project, I'm only gonna think about, hey, I haven't uploaded a video on the channel in a while, and it's just gonna like mess with me for that other project.
Where I know, like, it's kind of like in a weird spot, but like Tacoma build videos.
Well, I'm waiting on parts.
Yeah,
yeah. So waiting on parts. I actually was like, just chomping at the bit. I'm like, I gotta get going. And I'm like, what can I do? So I hit a Panda, and I'm like, do you want to start on the OBS now?
Nice.
And then he goes, I'm about a month out. And I'm all right. I was like, I'm ready when you are. Like, I'll come down. I was like, yeah. I have everything there. All the parts for that is ready to go.
Yeah.
And it's not as extensive as the other one. So I'm like, once the pieces fall in place for that,
mm-hmm.
and then once the OBS gets into, like, then it's all downhill, because the next two projects are already lined up.
Right.
So, like, it just has to.
I wonder what has to, when they're all done, when the Tacoma's done, the OBS is done, I wonder which one you're going to have more fun with.
Oh, well, like, probably the one that we were just talking about, which is the Rivian.
You're like, screw these bag trucks.
Yeah, well, the Rivian's bag too. So
yeah.
No, but like, it's, I have, I'm gonna, so that I'm gonna keep the Tacoma. I don't know if I'm gonna keep the OBS.
Oh, okay. So
because I have to come to this realization of like, I have the Titan, the OBS, the Tacoma, and the Maverick. I have four trucks.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm working on getting a fifth one. And it's like, so I have to, like, I can't keep things.
Right.
If I want to keep this going, like, I'm going to keep the Tacoma for sure. I'm going to keep the Titan for sure. Those two trucks serve a purpose mm-hmm. that in order to replace, like, those, I mean, I could replace the Tacoma, but it's just, it doesn't make any sense. So
mm-hmm.
I have, and then the OBS, I think, is going to be fun for a lengthy period of time, but it's not going to be, like, a forever thing.
Yeah.
The ones after that are literally going to be in, build, show, sold. Nice. In, build, show, sold. In, build, show, sold. So, like, it's just going to, like, I'm not going to, I can't get attached to these things.
Right, right. Which yeah, if you be, do that, you're going to end up with a yard like mine.
I'm not going to have any money to do the next one.
Well, that's true, because you got to keep those wheels going.
Yeah, and it will keep the merch going, too, because I'm going to do a shirt with the Tacoma. I'm going to do mm-hmm. a shirt with the OBS, and then once the shirt with the OBS is gone, then I'm going to do a shirt with the next build, and then that's gone. And then, like, this plan that I have in place will hopefully, like, come to fruition hardcore in the next year.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's exciting, man. It's really exciting.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
We'll see. I'm kind of, but that kind of leads into the whole Rivian thing.
Yeah, tell me about it now.
So. It's like a midlife crisis.
Okay. Not so, bad. I dig it.
Yeah, yeah. So Rivian, if people aren't familiar with Rivian, it's a company that started here in the United States, in California. They build cars in Illinois. They're building a plant in Georgia. And it's an electric car company. So if everyone...
Uh-oh. You said wants to get in the bad everyone word.
Wants to get in the tizzy, just get out of your feels and just calm down. Yeah, so I've been following them for a long time, mm-hmm. you know, and they started out with a truck, which is the R1T, and then they have an R1S, which is the SUV version, right? And then they're coming out with the R2, which is a smaller SUV, and the R3, which is a car,
okay,
which looks like an early 80s Volkswagen. It's sick.
Like a rabbit?
It's like...
Oh, yes. Nice.
It's freaking cool. So... That's all stuff that doesn't really mean anything to me. It's just cool to see them, like, doing mm-hmm. that. But the Rivian, like, again, this goes back to, like, what is a good tool right. for me, right? The Maverick and the Titan work together. As the Titan pulls heavier load, the Maverick does the city driving mm-hmm. and, like, lighter loads. You know, mm-hmm. like, I can fit the booth in there, even though the bed's small. Like, I can fit the booth in there. The Rivian, the bed is the exact same size.
Oh, as a Maverick.
As the Maverick.
Oh, cool.
So I know I can fit the booth in there, mm-hmm. right? And it also has this thing called a gear tunnel, which is behind the back seat in front of the bed. And you can fit, I can fit like all the camera gear in there and it's
oh, would it's be like kind of like a
you
little.
Can you crevice. You can crawl, like a person can fit in it and you can crawl from one side to the
oh,
other.
Oh, I have seen that. Yeah, I have yeah. seen that. Yeah, yeah.
So like imagine.
Almost like an keeping, RV.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine keeping like camera gear in there. And it's secure
mm-hmm.
versus camera gear in the back seat of the Maverick where people can look through the window and then essentially maybe break in if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's got the front trunk, right? So there's even more space.
Right.
So, right. So these are the things that I do to sell me on this. Yeah. To make this.
Hey, I'm in, baby. Like, to make, I'm
of
in.
Of course you are. it's just like I was all in on the Tundra because it's not my money. You know, like.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you the positives of this thing, and then okay. I will go into the negatives of this thing. The positives are there's three options for motors. Now there's more, but so this thing comes with, if you get the cheapest version, it's a dual motor, all-wheel drive, 535 horsepower truck. And then the next level up is 600 and something horsepower, and then the next level up, which is the one I test drove, is 835 horsepower. Jeez. And that's it's a quad beast. it's got quad motors, so it's got like a motor on each wheel.
Mm-hmm.
That video you saw of me when I came to a zero and then I hit the gas pedal,
mm-hmm.
the throttle pedal, and like you said, like I went over a bump, that was me. That I couldn't hold my hand in front of my face.
When it was like pushing you back.
When I hit the gas, it took my hand and went like this.
Whoa.
I physically could not hold that, like my hand in front of my face. It was like your face was melting like this.
No way.
Yeah. It's 0 to 60 and that one is in three seconds.
Wow. So is that faster than a Plaid?
No, a Plaid is a little bit faster.
Okay.
Not much faster, but a little bit faster.
But faster than a Model S?
Yes.
Basically, I'm saying is a faster than Adam's car.
Yes.
Sorry, Adam.
But again, when you're talking about like 3 seconds, 3.5 seconds, 4 seconds, there's... Mm-hmm.
It's also incredibly fast. Like, it's just fast.
Yeah, exactly, right? So it's not like... So the new ones, they just did a refresh on the trucks, on the whole line. And basically the quad motor Rivian, the motors are Bosch, and they were made in China.
Oh.
The new quad motors are in-house motors that they make at Rivian. And the new quad motors is 1,025 horsepower.
Jeez. This is total, right?
This is total horsepower.
Now, is this... Well, obviously, because, like, there's always this... I always find this interesting when people talk about horsepower in particular with gas motors. You know, you have your flywheel horsepower, and then you have your wheel horsepower. But
oh, yeah. I don't know if the wheel horsepower... I'm just saying the overall horsepower.
That's
I don't
what I'm
know
saying,
those.
But, like, with... it's taking out that middle step because it is direct power to the wheels. So that
it's direct torque to the wheels. I don't know. There's definitely horsepower lost to the wheels.
Oh, okay.
But not... I don't think as much as through a driveline.
Kind of don't know what I'm talking about. So people are probably like, you.
Neither of us do. So yeah. Let's do that. We're our own confidence.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know that, you know, I know in a regular ICE vehicle, there's driveline loss and all that stuff. I don't know what the loss is on these because the motors are mounted right by the wheels.
Mm-hmm. It took me all that time to figure out what ICE means, internal combustion engines.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. I got it. I'm down with the lingo.
Yeah.
ICE.
So I've been looking and just like watching videos on these things and just like fascinated by the whole thing and then going, well, what benefit would it have to me if I got this thing, right? Because I have things that do that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, the only benefit, like, I look at, it's a very similar size to the Maverick. It's basically like a Tacoma.
I mean, I haven't been around the Maverick in a while because I, you know, me, like, driving around here, you know, especially, like, Orange County, like, L.A., San Diego, I see a lot of those things. And to me... They're massive. They're big.
The Rivians.
But I might be looking at the bigger ones, maybe. I don't know.
There's only one size.
Truck. But there's two size SUVs?
But there's only one size SUV out currently. Now. The next one comes out in 2026.
No. I would say more to... Like I said, I haven't been around the Maverick in a while, but I would say very much closer to a Tacoma.
Oh, yeah, it's 100% closer to a Tacoma. But if you take the size difference between a Tacoma and a Maverick,
mm-hmm.
it's not... huge.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's not like it's a crew cab
mm-hmm.
with a small bed.
Yeah.
You know, that this is just a little longer. It is a little bit bigger, but I'm saying like it's not like a half ton truck where
definitely not that big.
You know, mm-hmm. so I mean it's pretty close to it, but it's not, and that's what I like about the Maverick is I like being able like I like the size of the Maverick.
Mm-hmm.
And because if I was gonna like go look for I could go get a really good deal like on a Ford Lightning or something like that, but I don't want that size truck.
You don't want a half-ton size vehicle.
I want a small vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So the benefit, like the positive of me doing that would be obviously it would be a fun thing to drive.
Oh, yeah.
And it's luxurious.
And that's what I was going to ask you because the other little dirty word that's floating around right now, or two words I should say, is Cybertruck.
Oh,
like,
what do you mean?
Like compare like a Rivian compared to a Cybertruck. They're both
they're about equal as far as everything. You know, but what I mean? as far as like luxury.
Oh, you think so? Like I think the Rivians like look a little more plush in my opinion.
No, they're the same. Mm-hmm. I mean they both have leather interior, they both have I'm comparing my Maverick to a Rivian. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm.
For what you do and what those vehicles serve your purpose, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, like, when I say luxury, I mean not luxury compared to what some people already have. Luxury mm-hmm. compared to what I have.
Right, right.
So, you know, it's got heated and cooled seats. I don't have heated and cooled seats. It's got, it has all those storage things that I talked about earlier. It's electric, which I'm really fascinated with. Electric, the whole thing you know, I know a lot of people aren't, but I am. Mm-hmm. And just what's happening in that space. I'm fascinated by never having to go to a gas station again, unless I'm driving long distances like, or with the Titan. Mm-hmm. The other benefit is, versus the Rivian over the Maverick is towing. So like I can't hook up my trailer with my Tacoma on it and take it over to Pandas with the Maverick.
Right.
I have to go in the backyard, move trucks around, you know what I mean? Do all this stuff and then, and do use the Titan. The Rivian can tow 11,000 pounds.
Really?
Yeah. And wow. When it comes to an electric vehicle, obviously you can't drive far with towing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get that. I know that. I'm not trying to drive across country, but I can hook up my big old enclosed trailer and put whatever I want in it and drive it across town and do whatever I want or hook up the car trailer. I can't do that with the Maverick.
Right.
So the plus of the Maverick is fuel mileage, right? That equals out with the Rivian. It's like the cost of fuel, electricity for mm-hmm. the Rivian, if I just filled up at home, would be less than the Maverick. But if I drove around town and used superchargers, it would be about the same or more than the Maverick.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm like going through all these benefits and all these like pluses and minus pro, like, you know, you did it with when you yeah. make a big purchase, like you oh, just yeah. go through these pros and cons and what makes sense. And I'm mm-hmm. just like, and it makes all the sense. Cause right now I could make money on the Maverick. If I sold the Maverick now, I'd make a decent chunk of change.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I'm like, huh. But I ended up not, I'm not going to do it.
Oh, you're not going to do the Rivian.
I'm not going to do the Rivian.
Wait, hold on. You're taking me on this journey, this emotional roller coaster.
I'm taking you on the compacted journey I have been over the last 3 weeks. And I continue to be on because
uh-huh.
I will get a Rivian.
Okay.
I'm so just not going to get one right now.
Right now. Okay. All right.
I missed the boat. The 2023s and 2024s.
Mm-hmm.
They were blowing them out on lease deals.
Okay.
So you could lease one, and by the time you leased it, and with the residual value on the lease, you don't get the $7,500 EV like tax credit buying a Rivian because a lot of the parts aren't made in the United States, like the motors and stuff.
Oh, that's part of the thing.
Oh,
okay.
But these companies have figured out a way around that when you lease it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you lease it, they take $7,500 off right away. So by leasing one of these things at the deals that they were offering and then the residual value you pay to buy it at the end of the lease, you were saving thousands of dollars over buying one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So the lease made sense. And the lease makes sense, too, as a business owner because a lease has a lot of benefits
yeah.
versus purchasing a vehicle when it comes to taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So like all these things, you know what I mean? I'm just like, da-da-da-da. But then the other thing that messes me up is I can walk in there and get one of these with zero down and a minimal amount of like fees and all this stuff. But then I got to pay tax, not tax, because you pay tax on each payment.
Right.
So you don't pay tax. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the registration you got to pay.
Oh, really? That's different.
Well, registration. Yeah. Registration is based on the total cost of the vehicle.
Right.
My registration was going to be like $1,300 or $1,400.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm like, I don't want to pay that. Like, I just don't want to pay that much for registration. It's just one of those things. Like, the actual payment of the truck wasn't going to be, it was going to be more than the Maverick.
Mm-hmm.
But there were things that it would be more fun driving than the Maverick,
mm-hmm.
obviously, because it's like driving a damn sports car.
Yeah.
It's got air suspension, which gives it more ground clearance than a Tacoma. So it's got, it, like, I can go up in the hills. You know what I mean? Like, you can do off-roady things.
Yeah.
And it's just a nicer all-around vehicle. So it like hits all these points that like I was like, it would be nice to like a luxury thing for me to drive around and a fat, like a sports car and a luxury car in the same thing.
And a truck all wrapped
into
one.
All wrapped into one, right? Yeah. So like all these things, I'm like, this makes sense. This makes sense. And so I went on the Rivian site the other night and all the quad motors are gone for the leasing deals.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like,
that just put a stop to it right there and then, huh?
Yeah. I mean, because even though the dual motors are fast, I'm just like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It just would be cool just to have that one.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just this whole thing that my my brain's been on the last couple of weeks.
Right, right. Yeah, that's cool. Hey, I think they're super cool. Every time I see a Rivian, like, there's a lot of electric cars around here. So, you know, you see tons of Teslas and all this. But the Rivians always catch my eye. I really like the SUVs. They're just stylish-looking vehicles. You know, I think in the beginning of this whole, like, electric car, you know, path, a lot of people were, like, trying to do very futuristic-looking things. And where, like, that one is a definitely a futuristic-looking vehicle. But it doesn't – it's not – like, that's the thing with the Cybertruck. It's just trying too hard. You know what I mean? It's trying too hard to be so – interesting and different when it doesn't need to be like that. But then on, like you said, on the other side of that scale, you have the Lightning, which is just an F-150 that's electric, which is nice and cool, but it's still lacking that, like,
because there. Well, and the thing with electric, right, you think, oh, electric, when you have a huge electric truck, you're the benefits kind of, unless, okay, so if you have a huge electric truck and you're charging it on, like, the infrastructure, like superchargers, whether it's a Tesla supercharger, Electrify America, or whatever, the amount of money you spend to charge that vehicle is not cheap. Mm. You know what I mean? To go, because they're huge battery packs. Mm-hmm. So if you have a little car, like a little Tesla or whatever, their battery packs are smaller. It's very cheap to fill them up, and they can go a lot. Like a truck and a car can go the same distance. Like your Tundra or Titan versus like our Civic can go the same distance on a tank of gas, but it costs
more.
There's more fuel involved in the truck. It's the same in the electric thing. The battery pack is a larger battery pack, costs the same amount of money to fill it, or double to fill it up, but it goes, the distance it goes is the same as the car. So when it comes to electric car things, like, the cars make sense. The trucks,
The thing is, like, when I mean, way back before I got into the Tundra or anything like that, we always talk about this. And, you know, I was, like, exploring Lightnings and stuff like that, and then the towing and driving and stuff like that. And it all, back then, like I said, things changed so fast. This is probably not the same anymore, and you might correct me. But, like, at that point, it was like, yeah, you know, you could drive this in cross country, but it's or whatever, but it's going to take time to charge and everything like that. And my argument at that point was, it's only going to get better. Like, a lot of the arguments people are making.
Yeah. It really already has.
Like, and that's what I'm saying. This was a year ago when I was having these thoughts in this conversation. So I'm sure it's changed. But my point is like, a lot of the things that people say about electric cars and a lot of the disadvantages they talk about is only going to get better with time. You know, these things, they have to. If these big car makers want to manufacture cars and sell them to people and have them use them, they have to make that process as easy as possible. And all they're going to do is keep on modifying it and refining it.
Chevy already did it with the new Silverado. So the new Silverado can go 400 plus miles.
Wow.
And the towing, they did a test on TFL trucks, and it went over 200 and something miles with an enclosed trailer.
Wow.
You know, towing up and down.
And that's pretty much, like, unless, you know, we kind of live in this interesting space doing what we do and going so far. But a lot of the times, where are you going to go more than 250 miles when you're going somewhere? When you're going camping or taking the boat to the lake or blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
That's the thing, is people just, they always say, and the thing too with electric vehicles, it's not like, you can't compare it with a gas car. It's two totally different things. Mm-hmm. A gas car, you go to the gas station, you fill it up. Mm-hmm. A electric vehicle, you don't fill it to 100% ever unless you're going on a trip, because there's no need to. So you charge it up to like 70%, and then you do your daily tasks, and you come home and you plug it into the charger in your garage, and then you program it to charge it up to 70%, because a battery lasts longer between 20% and 70%.
Oh, really?
If you're constantly charging it up to 100%, the battery degradation kicks in, and the battery doesn't last as long. So, like,
Angie, are you listening to that? Because she always gives me crap about charging my phone. She's all, you got to let it charge all the way.
No, like, that's the same thing with those. But the new batteries in they're a different chemistry on they're called LFP batteries or whatever. Those, apparently, it doesn't matter anymore. And those are, but they're not in every vehicle. They're only in some vehicles. But I mean, like Adam with his Tesla, he charges it once a week.
Oh.
You know what I mean? And that's it. And he goes to work and he goes back. The average person drives 29 miles. Now, let's say, okay, if I was driving long distances all the time, like with a vendor trailer or whatever, then yeah, I'm not going to, it's not there yet. Like, I'm not going, like, I wouldn't even think about that.
Right.
But I almost have this challenge part of me too.
You do like a good challenge when it. Yeah, I do know that.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Like I also imagine I just get this electric truck that most truck and car people like just despise, right? Yeah. Like
it just, is a polarizing thing.
It just cracks me up that, you know, I love when people get mad. Uh-huh. It's so funny to me when people just get upset because yeah. It's just like, why are you upset?
Yeah, like, who cares?
Why do you care?
Right.
So, imagine I am towing that my trucks back and forth to Pandas or back and forth to here or back and forth to SoCal or whatever. Like the comment section would just go crazy. Yeah. And I would eat that up.
And man. It's content.
It's content and just people that get in their feels over stuff like that. Uh-huh. Like, why do you care?
Right.
I understand the reason you care is because you think that the government's going to come and take your gas car away from you. You know what I mean? I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, all new cars past 2035 in some states are supposed to be electric. Are you going to buy a new car? Are you going to go buy a new car? No, you're going to keep your old cars because that's what people do anyways. Cause mm-hmm. you know, and also a funny thing I heard the other day was they were looking at old articles like Motor Trend, Road and Track, Car and Driver of when the Prius first came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the first hybrid, da da da, and they were reading these articles by these editors, and they were trashing the hybrid. They're like, "Stupid hybrid! This mm-hmm. is never gonna work."
Right?
This dumb tree hugger hippie, whatever. You know, all the buzzwords people use for everything. And now, if you go and you talk to like an anti EV or whatever you are, you know, this is what they say. A hybrid's cool. I'll do a hybrid, but I won't do a full electric.
Yeah.
The tide is changing.
It always does.
It always does. Yeah. And I know people don't want to hear this. And there's part of me that doesn't want to hear it either because, you know, like I'm talking about new vehicles. I'm not talking about old ones. You know, and I'm not going to take my mini truck and go try to put an electric motor in it. Like that's stupid. It might be fun for someone. It's not fun for me. Like a SC10 or whatever, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, that might be cool, but it's not. I would rather put like this big V8 in it or whatever, yeah. You know. But like, we were at the Unfinished Business show, and Brent's kid was there, and you know, Brent got his kid the S10 and all this stuff, yeah. But his kid was like, I was like, well, what kind of car do you want? Like, what do you want? And he goes, I kind of want a Tesla.
They're cool cars. I'm just
in
saying.
In 30 to 40 years, kids will go and look at their grandparents and go, I can't believe you went to a gas station every day.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like gas stations will be reserved for big trucks mm-hmm. and heavy duty things.
Mm-hmm. And or if you have a hot rod stashed away that you drive once a month or, you know, you go to a show or something, but you don't want to go like you got your body drop show truck. It's super cool. Gas motor. And you drive it every once in a while. But you're not going to take it too far because it's kind of uncomfortable to drive. So you can take your luxurious electric vehicle, trailer it to the show.
Exactly. This thing that drives for you.
Right. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. And people are like, well, I don't want to drive for me. Well, you already use cruise control. So, yes, you kind of do.
Hey, I'm just now learning about the like adaptive cruise control thing in the Tundra. It's amazing. It blows my mind. I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, exactly. And you're just new to that. Mm-hmm. So people have been getting used to that for a long time when they bought their first new vehicle, mm-hmm. you know? So like, and also for the people that are yelling into their computer right now or in the comments, I'm sure there's already comments right now about whatever.
Yeah.
First of all, no one that's listening to this follows the electric vehicle, the electricity grid, the grid in the United States, what's happening to it, batteries, mining, mm-hmm. all these things. No one really follows it. They'll put their buzzwords in there. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? What about the mining? What about the kids? What about the slave labor? What about cobalt? What about the dirty air from like whatever? You're just repeating what other people are saying.
Right.
You're not actually taking the time to listen to what's going on behind the scenes. You're just repeating what you see on Facebook or whatever. So so stop it or do it. I don't care.
Or just whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it just, if you like doing it,
it's just one of those things when I don't pop off about something I know nothing about.
That's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to go in there and argue a point about something or these buzzwords or these buzz arguments that I call them when I don't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. If you're basing an opinion based on something 10 years old or 15 years old, mm-hmm. things change so fast. Mm-hmm. Technology changes so fast. So, you know, it is what it is. Hate me.
It's okay.
But
hey, and that's the thing is, like, I don't think anybody's going to hate anything. It's just polarizing. That's all. Everything in today's world is polarizing. And that's what's the
sad part about it is if everything's polarizing. Like, mm-hmm. you can't like something and not be this thing.
Yeah.
Or this label. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. It's just like, you know, yeah. I don't know.
Well, now let's talk about my ice truck.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And how it's going to blow up. No, I'm just kidding. No. No, Angie's listening. It's not going to blow up, Angie. I promise. Okay, so the thing that I had kind of written down that I made notes for,
yeah,
is I've gotten a few things about my truck. So I have a 2024 Tundra with the 3.5, I think it is, V6, twin turbo V6. So recently, it's come to light that Toyota's having a problem with these motors, and that they're spinning bearings. And what it comes down to is it's a problem when they were manufacturing the motors, there was some debris left inside that gets sucked up into the oil and can get in the crankcase and smoke the bearings in them. So I've gotten a few people like, oh, what, you know, what's going on with your truck? So where do I begin with this? Cause it's kind of like, it's just like your electric car topic. There's like so many, you know, different, excuse the pun, moving parts to this thing, you know? So I looked into it. It really, I don't know where to begin. I guess to start with, it only affects the 22 to 23 models, specifically motors manufactured from November of 22 to February of 23. Mm-hmm. And it is a big deal. I'm not discounting it. It is a big deal because they're recalling 102,000 Tundras that have this problem with the motor. Mm-hmm. So I was curious, like, how many Tundras did Toyota produce in those that time? 158,000. So
yeah,
quite a few of them. It is. Yeah, have you looked into it or heard about
it? Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, so you can maybe correct me on a couple things. So me being me and me being Panic Frank, what's the first thing I do? I panic. You know, which is what I do. But then,
yeah.
So, because, you know, the first, you know, you start, like, I heard about it a few weeks ago, these little inklings of, like, oh, Toyota has this problem, there's this recall. And then, you know, as more things come to light and people start talking about it, but it's just like the electric car thing. It's a polarized issue. It's you have people who don't have Tundras saying, well, wow, God, what a piece of crap. You know, how could Toyota do this? Toyota reliability is out the window, blah, 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 blah. And then you have people who own the trucks or, like, you know, also, like, their extreme is like, maybe they're trying to be, like, you know, ignorant to the fact, like, oh, well, I mean, it's not going to, it's 1% that fail, blah, blah, blah. So everybody's, like, you know, coming up with these opinions and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I decided to, my approach at the situation is, like, just look at the facts that are presented right now. Because if you go on Reddit, and there's a Tundra subreddit, which is also kind of interesting, too. And I'm going to, like, be going all over the place like I usually do. So in this Tundra subreddit, it's like you, when I first got to this Tundra subreddit, it's like Tundras. And you had guys who had old Tundras and guys who had bought new Tundras. And everybody's happy and coexisting until this problem came out. And then it's really interesting. There was like this divide where you have the old 5.7 guys and then you have the new Tundra owners and they're beefing. They are beefing up in these comments, just talking mad crap to each other.
Yeah.
And then what's also interesting is because you have, this is the third gen Tundra. You actually have a 2.5 gen Tundra, which was like 19 when they still put 5.7s in them, but they changed the body styling, not radically, but enough to be different. And then so like, it's just this really interesting whole, how it's all playing out with everything.
Yeah.
And then you, of course, you have the dudes in there who are like, oh, you have a 20, it's a 24s aren't immune. I've heard of guys 24s blowing up. And it's like, well, okay.
There's like one or two videos of 24s doing it.
Oh, I'd see. I haven't even seen these videos.
You know? They're like, this guy's like, has his door open and he's just like, the truck's just going duck, 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 duck. And he's like, and it's a brand new one. Hmm. So like, but that's one video.
That's one video. So, like I said, the approach that I took at it is to just, what are we saying right now? This information may change. I don't know. But like I said, 22 to 23 models, 100,000 recalls.
This is also very interesting. Oh, my truck, I made a note saying my truck was made in April of 24. Okay. So mine is only a couple months old from manufacturing.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, it is pretty insane, huh?
Yeah.
Here's an interesting thing. So when I first got the truck, I put it up on Instagram, posted a photo of me and Angie, very proud in front of our truck. So got tons of great comments, so much positivity. It was so cool. And I got one, this girl says, "Hey, I admin the plant that motor's made in. Where I work made that motor." And I'm like, huh. And then now at the time, I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. And now I'm like, do you want to take that back? And so I thought that was really interesting because the motors are made in Alabama. Mm. Let's see. Yeah. Yeah. The motors are made in Alabama. They're put together in Texas. So, and also another little interesting hot take I'm going to say is like all of the motors that are being recalled and everything are made in Alabama. The ones that are not being recalled were the ones made in Japan. There's only like
there's some made in Japan.
There's some made in Japan, but those are fine.
Oh, those are the hybrid ones, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's where I'm at with it. You know,
it's not really the fact, like what I've seen around this whole thing. It's not the fact that they're failing that people are worried about, mm-hmm. because Toyota's going to fix them. So it's not like this. You look at a Rivian and imagine if the Rivian started just like having these catastrophic failures of some sort.
Oh, people,
it's a new company. They're already losing $30,000 on each truck that they sell.
Oh, really?
So yeah. So like they only have enough cash to get them through a certain, there's this whole thing when it comes to like their stock and money that they have on hand and like this whole thing to make a new car company work. And that's why I am fascinated with Rivian, because it's not easy for this to happen for a new car company like to work, because mm-hmm. there's safety stuff, there's service centers, there's all these moving parts which Toyota already has. So like it doesn't matter if 100,000 motors blew up, they're going to get fixed. Mm-hmm. Like they're not going to go broke. It's not going to break them. You know what I mean? It mm-hmm. might fuck them up for a little while or do something. Right. But it's not going to be like, it's not like Toyota's going to go under and you're sitting there with this $60,000 paperweight.
Right.
Like that's not going to happen. It like worst case scenario, you have a Tundra, it spins a bearing and you get it fixed.
Yeah.
Right.
So
that's the thing. But what's the problem is now this is on your Carfax.
Oh,
the problem is the dealers, people are going to trade their trucks in and the dealers are refusing to take them.
Oh, they are.
Yes. So if you go to a Toyota dealer with a 22 Tundra to try to trade it in, they're telling you no.
Really?
That's what
that is a bit.
That's the fallout. That's the worst fallout than the actual motor being possibly messed up. Mm-hmm. The fallout is the value of your vehicle. This value thing that you bought because it retains its value.
That was one of the big selling points.
Not going to retain its value. It's still going to retain its value, but it's like there's a gamble now. So mm-hmm. if you have a 22 and you're like, oh, I'm going to go to sell it now just because it's a Toyota, mm-hmm. it's people, you might get less money for it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the only fallout from it. Like other than that, there's nothing. Like,
So when I went through that same list of like all of these things that could happen. And so at the beginning of it is okay. So yeah, these motors are no good in this particular bracket of time. They're going to replace them. So now the people who do own them, their question is like, what are they going to do? Cause right now the answer is a short block, pull the motor out, putting a short block in and putting it back in. The owners say, no, we want brand new crate motors. We want brand new motors put back into them. So that's one thing. And then from my perspective, that is going to bug me. If this ever happens to ours, the thing that's going to bug me is I have this truck that's been put together. And I even asked, it's so funny because even before like all this stuff started going down, I took it to my mechanic to show it to him and he was looking it over. Oh, no, this was when it was just being talked about. And I said, oh, yeah, did you hear about these things they're having? And I said, yeah, the problem is like, you know, when you blow them apart and you put them back together, they never go back together the same again. And he's like, yeah, he's like, we try, but it doesn't. He's like, you know, all the clips aren't going to be the same, or this is going to be the same. So that's, if it ever happens, that's the parts that's going to bug me.
I mean, it's probably different when you take it to the actual dealer, because they are so they are pretty good about, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. about some of that stuff. But I mean, like, yeah, like if something gets blown apart, like even taking a whole dash out, that's always been like my biggest fear.
Yeah.
Is like, and that's another thing too, is like when you're on these forums, like I'm on like two Rivian Facebook groups. I'm on the Reddit Rivian forum, and like, there's so many ones that haven't had any issues, but then there's obviously ones that have had issues, and mm-hmm. those are the louder ones on the forums. It's just like, it's like the Yelp review effect, right? They're not having failures, like any catastrophic failures, because there's less moving parts in these thing. There's like, there's the motors, and then that's it, right? Mm-hmm. Like the things that they're having thing, it's just like a body panel misalignment, or they're just these weird things that don't, that really don't, aren't a big deal. Mm-hmm. But the big deal is since it's such a small company, there's one service center in Arizona.
Oh.
So, and it is 45 minutes from my house. So for me, in order to like, say if something happened, I would have to take it down there, have someone follow me down there, come home. Now it's there. Now I'm having to drive the Titan around while it, you know, or they will give you a rental, but like, it's just one of the, I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? Like you buy this thing, this expensive thing, and you expect it to be this, like not having to be taken apart or, mm-hmm. or whatever. But you know,
you said something, cause we talked about it briefly after the last episode.
Yeah.
And you said something interesting that kind of stuck in my brain too. That kind of gives me a little bit of comfort, because it's not like I live in like some little town somewhere with one dealership like that. I live in a place where there's gigantic dealerships with hundreds of employees and really high quality control. So, you know, that's that is exactly to your point. Yeah. Like that gives me some sort
of
comfort.
And Toyota's not just going to willy nilly like and treat their customers like crap.
Right.
No, they are going to go above and beyond for this. Like they have to make this right, because what do they have? They have their brand. Their mm-hmm. their like brand loyalty and reliability is a Toyota.
Right.
Toyota does not sell their cars because they are the best looking cars. They don't sell their cars because they're like they are the most capable vehicles. They're not the fastest. They're not the most style. Like they're not like they're just this company that sells good, reliable vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, besides the take away the Tacoma and the Tundra and the 4Runner, those are obviously like class leading in certain things. Mm-hmm. But like a Camry or a Corolla or a RAV4, like they're just kind of basic cars. Like there are in category, there are better vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like BMWs, Audis, Mercedes, and things like that. But those are not reliable vehicles,
right?
So Toyota's not just going to be like meh. We'll figure it out. No, they're going to like they're going to get it handled.
The other good thing that I've noticed since like following this whole thing is you don't have to take the body off the frame to take the motor out. They can get the motor out.
Really?
Yeah, they can get it out the front of the vehicle. So they have to take the grill out, the core support, and then it slides out. So that's one good thing about it.
Imagine making a car payment while it's in the shop and you have a picture of the body off of the frame. I would freak out.
Freaking me out right now. Don't say that.
It's not even gonna affect you at all. And you're still you get in it and you're just like, you start it up every single time. You're like, boom, you little bit of gas. Boom. Did you see that thing Dower sent? He said he sent it to you. Tundras like not going over 10% throttle because they don't want to.
He did send me that. Yeah. Just two dudes wondering if their trucks are going to blow up right now.
Not going over 10% throttle.
I just wanted to bring it up in this public forum just because, you know, we're pretty transparent with what we do, and this is like a thing. And
these are big purchases. You've already gone down the whole, like, I made a semi big purchase with the Maverick, and then you made a large purchase with the Tundra.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to money, maybe these aren't large purchases for people, because
we're talking about our world. Okay.
We're talking about us. All right. We sell t-shirts for a living. We don't have a lot of money.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
We'll just see where it goes. I just thought it would be interesting to bring up and discuss about it. And we'll see. Hey, it's still running. I just crossed over 1,000 miles on it. So, and the failure window, I guess, right now is like 1,000 to 5,000 miles.
Yeah.
That's like the window. So we'll see what happens.
So you just get out and you just drive it around country till it hits 5,000 miles. So you just for your mental comfort.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm kind of. Yeah. At least get into the first oil change, because I guess what they're doing now is they're doing samples too. So you take it into the dealership for the Toyota care. Because they will find out very quickly what's happening.
It's like going to the doctor and waiting for results. You and Andrew are just sitting at home. It's all quiet. You're like tapping the thing and you get the phone call. Hello. And they're like, yeah, this is a Longo Toyota or whatever. You know, we have your results. And it's just like, boom, you look at each other. They're like, oh my God. They're like, you're fine.
Oh,
you're like, yeah.
Or they go like, we found a ton of metal in the oil.
It's like a blood. It's like a
blood. It's like a blood test.
Yeah,
we found elevated levels of metal in your oil, and
yeah,
you know, oh my gosh, but no, yeah,
sad music. the Titans laughing at you.
The Titans just like, I'm fine.
Yeah,
I'm fine.
Ain't no metal in my oil. Ain't
no metal here. yeah, it's funny, but yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. You know, the one thing that I came to the conclusion, because I was kind of stressing about it a little bit, but I'm like, I can't do anything. I'm just got to sit here and wait and see what happens.
Yeah. The only thing, like literally the comfort of buying a new vehicle, the only bad thing when something goes wrong like this is like, it just hinders your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You got to like take it down there. Like, and that's my biggest thing is like, not that I have a lot to do. But like Chelsea's Civic, you know, she got in an accident a couple weeks ago, and it's fixed now. So we're gonna go pick it up today. But like, in order for us to go pick this up, like I got to get a ride down to Hogan's, it's at, and like it's just this thing, you know what I mean? It's
yeah,
just like
it's an inconvenience. Yeah,
it's an it, there you go. I don't like being inconvenienced.
No,
I'm very spoiled in my. Not have like in my schedule and stuff like that, and so inconveniencing me is like, I don't know. Yeah. So I don't know.
We'll see where it goes.
Well, this is where it's going to go. Your Tundra is going to last forever, and you're going to have this awesome truck for a long time. And I am going to make a terrible financial decision and get rid of a truck that'll probably be paid off, that gets great gas mileage, to buy a $100,000 truck that essentially does the same thing and go into a lot of debt.
Well, you know, meh. Oh, nah. The only other thing that I thought of, which is interesting in this whole recall thing, is, you know, everybody's like, oh my God, the 22s, the 23s. What about the dude who bought one in 22, now has like 60,000 miles on this thing?
Yeah.
And he's like, I get a brand new motor? Wait, what?
Well, it's not everyone. It's only if it affects it.
No, right. But I'm just saying. So
I would be, I have 60,000 miles. I'd go out
just
there and like
rev the crap out of it.
No. Sprinkle a little metal in it. little, you know what I mean? Like you're just out there. You take the oil cap off and you're just grinding down into it.
Yeah.
You're just like, something's wrong with it.
And then you take it in, and then they're like, well, we found a lot of metal in the oil. And you're like, uh-huh. So, but it's aluminum? There's no aluminum parts in here. You're like, yeah. Damn it.
No. Yeah.
But
anyway. That would be funny.
Yeah.
Or if you have the 22 and you have that many miles on it, and you're just worried forever.
Oh, that's
like
true.
Even if it hasn't happened, like you're already over the thing, and you know it's not. It's like one of those things where you know it's not going to happen, but uh-huh. you can never stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, no, I'm gonna go trade this in, and you go to try to trade it, and they're like, nah, no.
Wow, it'll be interesting. Updates to follow. We'll see what.
And that's
happens.
Where the 5.7 guys are just like,
and that's the thing. Is that's what go right back to what I was saying. They're like beefing down there in Reddit, dude. It's just like all the 5.7 guys are just talking mad shit to the new guys, and it's kind of funny a little bit.
It is.
They're beefing hardcore. And I
you
get
go ahead.
I get wrapped up in it too. I see someone talking shit about it, I'm all downvote. Like even it could be like a completely legitimate thing. I'm like, no. Hey, I'm human. I'm human. Damn it.
It's like the so the Rivian thing is kind of funny, right? Mm-hmm. Because people aren't necessarily buying Rivians like they buy a truck to use it as a truck, you know, same with like a stupid Cybertruck or a Lightning is more of like a truck that you would use as a truck, but like you're not going to have these average like truck guys doing like buying this. So a lot of the videos that I'm watching are like, Dad, this is my first truck. and they have no like
interesting
like about towing. They don't know anything. So yeah. it is funny being in that in the Rivian forums and listening to people asking. I say stupid questions, but they're not stupid
like
questions.
Beginner questions.
They're new. Like, you know what I mean? But you got these older people that have never had a truck, but they're just like, yeah. So it's kind of, but then, you know, you don't want to be mean to someone. You just like answer their question or whatever.
Just be chill.
Yeah. You're like, no, stupid. That's not how the hitch goes.
Social media. But
I know.
Well,
what else?
That's it. We got to talk about stuff next week, too.
Are you going to talk about your new shirt yet?
No, not yet. It's not ready.
Okay.
But a new shirt's coming.
You have a new shirt coming. I just released a new one.
Oh, it's out in public?
Huh?
You already released it to the public?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
you did? I didn't. Did you do that today?
I did that yesterday.
Yesterday? Why didn't I see that?
I don't know. But I put it on pre-order, so I'll put the artwork here. Mm-hmm. Because the C10 shows, man. It's like C10 season.
It is.
Mini truck season's over. C10 season starting.
Yeah.
No, like I'm going to the C10 slowdown, and then I'm going to C10s in the park, and then Dino's is coming up. So like, I realized, oh, I need to get a couple of new C10, refresh my C10 shirt. So yeah, I'm doing that.
I like it. Yeah. Did you put up an image already here?
I put it up an image.
Okay. Yeah. It's a really cool shirt because we were talking about that, you know, a while ago about, you know, changing the perspective on things, or like, and this one is just that real tight corner shot. Looks sick.
Yep.
Looks really cool.
And it's not like cartoony, where the other ones have been kind of cartoony. And we talked about that too, where like you can get caught up in like this thing and you kind of got to break out of it. You know what I mean? Like
my new one is cartoony. So no.
Yeah. But you have a lot of your stuff lately has been a lot of like text based. So, you know,
yeah. And I'm really trying to get more into the art.
It'll break it up. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, it's really cool. It's just fun to like try to figure all this stuff out.
Yeah, it's cool. And me, you know, if people who listen frequently, like remember 6 months ago, we were talking about just doing stuff. And now I'm just like hitting up people like, hey, I got this idea. You want to make it? And they're like, yeah. And then they make it, you know? So like, I really let go of the whole like me trying to figure it out. Or now I'm just like, no, there are perfectly capable people out there. I tell them what I want, and then they go like this, and I go just like that. Thank you. Yeah.
And you just saved yourself months of trying to figure out something, you know, like speaking of that, we're probably going to do a new drop shirt eventually soon.
Yeah.
So we'll probably discount some of the t-shirts that are on there on the website now to kind of move them. Mm-hmm. So look for discounts on drop stuff.
Do we know what we're giving away for the next one?
Nope.
We'll figure that out soon.
A gimbal.
Not a gimbal. Used gimbal.
Yeah.
That's where we get to. We just start picking up stuff, random stuff around our offices. Like, here's anybody, a Jackery.
You know, a lot of people ask us what other podcasts we listen to. And I listen to the Tosh's podcast.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
It's so good. At the end of every episode, he gives his guest a gift. The gift is something laying around his house that he doesn't use anymore.
Yeah.
And he's just like, here's this air fryer that I got, and I don't, you know what I mean? It's just like, or you know, everyone has like gifts that they've gotten for Christmas or whatever it is, right?
Here's a skillet.
He's essentially just cleaning his house out by giving his guests stuff like this. That's so cool. That'll be our giveaways. It'll be like I don't know what I have. Oh, I have like corner markers for, I bought the wrong corner markers for my front end, so those have been sitting in a box over here.
Yeah,
I'll just corner markers for the wrong year Toyota.
Yeah, and then give it to someone who has an S10. They're like, thanks.
Like, you won. What did I win? Corner markers for a 99 4Runner.
That's funny. Right on. So, yeah, so we'll have that figured out. Go to the Grindr TV, grindr-tv.com, and buy that new shirt. Pre-order it.
Yeah. And then we'll see if you're going to C10 Slowdown, I'll have them there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that show. It's going to be fun. Really looking forward to that one. One thing I got to make a note, and if I say it now, then maybe I'll actually do it, is putting together a more kind of comprehensive, like, upcoming shows, you know?
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Time or dates, locations. By the way, we always talk to people out there who throw shows. At what city it's in. It's really kind of hard to figure out sometimes because they're like, oh, C10s, like, just for example, I'm not talking about this in a particular, but they're like, yeah, C10s in the park, April 27th, 2024. Where?
Oh, it's in the park.
It's in random city, Cal, or random city USA.
Yeah.
In what state?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, sorry.
No. Yeah. That's definitely a thing. I faulted on it. I've actually released artwork before with no dates on it.
Oh yeah, I remember that. They're
like, when? I'm like, you should know.
Duh.
Yeah.
Gosh. Oh, cool. All right. Well, that's this one. We'll see you next week.
Yep.
All right.
Later. Bye.